Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Keith Randolph Smith, actor extraordinaire here at City Theater. It's great to be sitting down with you today.
It's great to be with you.
I know you're very busy. You're in the middle of the absolute brightness of Leonard Pelkey, mm-hmm. a one-man show. You are carrying it all there.
Yes, sir.
So, who is Leonard Pelkey?
Leonard Pelkey is a 14-year-old boy who is very, shall I say, free. And he's a very likable character who you actually don't meet in the storytelling. You've only hear about him. And so it's on the other characters you meet along the way who will paint a picture for you of who Leonard is.
And you are one of those characters.
All of them,
all
actually.
Of them, wearing many hats in this.
Yes.
So, now your approach to a one-man show versus a full cast show, is it any different? Is it more terrifying, more challenging? How do you look at that?
All of that, all of the above. It is quite different because normally if you're in a cast with other people, you would play this one character and you'd make your entrance, you have an interaction and you make your exit. Then other people would keep carrying on. Mm. Here, you don't get to make an exit. Your character makes an exit, but you as an actor stays and play the next character. So, in that respect, it's kind of relentless. And so you have to have your energy up, get a lot of rest, lots of water, and complete focus.
Now, has there ever been a show quite like this in your repertoire before?
I've done a one-person show before. It's been years ago. It was about the head butler at the White House during like 6 administrations.
Oh, mm-hmm. Very good. And we're catching you after the show is opened. It opened on January 20th and will run through February 18th. So from your perspective, how are people reacting to this show?
It's interesting because I can't see everyone clearly, even though I do make direct address to the audience. Mm-hmm. I can see some, and their expressions vary from intrigued or laughing or a little more serious, leaning back, sitting back, leaning forward. It's an interesting mix of telling a story, being in the story, and then looking out and actually seeing their reactions. It's fun. That's the fun part of it.
And it's a very intimate space here, which is great for a show like this.
Mm-hmm.
And to hear that beautiful voice of yours carry right out over us. People must compliment you all the time on your voice.
Oh, from time to time, and I'm always humbled by any kind of acknowledgement. So I thank you.
But let me tell you, it's like a massage for the soul sitting next to you. It's like reverberating. Now, do you sing as well?
No.
Oh, no. My gosh.
People always ask me, but
yeah.
I have sang in plays, but I would no way say that I was a singer.
So you are an actor, therefore you can act like
I
can sing.
Like I can sing.
I get
yes.
it. I totally get it. I completely do. But I think we were getting ripples in our martinis as you were talking. It's very beautiful. So do you feel that, you know, working on this piece, and I don't want to give too much away about, you know, what happens in it, but it is some heavy emotional material. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that it has affected you in any way or changed your perspectives on anything?
Maybe added to my perspectives in the way that I do believe in fairness and justice, and it's just reinforced that for me, that we should treat people as individuals on their own merit and not based on some preconceived notion we may have of who they might be.
Mm. Very good. And I hope that maybe some of our audience members will take that away
I
too.
I hope so. When they come, that's one thing I hope they do. It's like judging books by covers is really misleading, taking you down a interesting road that may have nothing to do with the content.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, we were chatting earlier about the, you know, where we're both from, and yes, you hail originally from Ohio, but you've been in New York City for the past roughly 35 years. Mm-hmm. I imagine, given your talents, you're working pretty steadily there, and having a good time.
One can only knock on wood and pray that you do well at the auditions that you get. Yeah.
Well, thinking back, what can you remember is probably maybe your first theatrical experience, maybe what inspired you to become a performer, or maybe the first time that you gave it a shot and realized, hey, I can do this.
I was attending a community college, Cuyahoga Community College in Cleveland, the Metropolitan Campus, and I was majoring in journalism, media, and I kept walking past the theater building, and I was like, I wonder what happens in there. And they had a sign up for auditions for Marsha Norman's, the playwright, play Getting Out. And so I went to the bookstore, bought the script, never read a script in my life. And so I'm like, well, that might be interesting. But every day I saw the audition notice, I wouldn't go in because I was scared. And so it was the last day. One day I walked out, I'm like, okay, it's either do or die. You gotta go in.
Yeah.
And so I went in, got cast, and after the play, I changed my major to theater.
Wow.
And just kept pursuing it after that.
It had an impression on you,
yes,
one would
say. Yes, it did.
Say.
I got bitten by the acting and theater bug.
Now, that's the second time that we've mentioned auditions, but in relation to New York, you know, what is the scene right now in New York City for the working actor?
Ooh, it's a very deep talent pool. So you're not usually auditioning with a handful of people. It's hundreds,
right,
literally. And all very well trained from different programs like Point Park or Carnegie Mellon, but from all over the country also. And different varying levels of experience. You walk in, you have your 5 minutes, and you do the best you can, prepare the best you can, and then you walk out and hope that you showed them something that they hadn't seen or something that they're interested in, mm-hmm, and they call you back and whittle down the pool to a smaller number, and then you go back in, and then you hope and pray.
And now this is your second endeavor with the City Theater.
Yes.
Here in Pittsburgh. Audiences may remember you from Sunset Baby. Is that correct?
Sunset Baby, Dominique Mariso.
So I think we are very proud and pleased to have a theater like City Theater here in Pittsburgh. So what is your opinion of this particular theater as compared to maybe other theaters you've worked with in New York, for example?
Well, this theater gives a lot of love to new plays and new playwrights, and that's my favorite thing to do, to work on a new play by up-and-coming playwrights, by established playwrights. But with a new play, it's like someone has given you some content and they've given you a destination, mm-hmm, and a starting point, but you are going to find the route to get there, you know. Designers, directors, the playwright, and together you take a road trip.
Mm-hmm. And twice now.
Yes.
So if they asked you back again, would you come back?
Yes, I would. I love this theater. It's one of the better theaters in the country, you know, for the type of work they do. I've seen main stage shows here, and I've always been impressed by the technical ability of the staff, mm-hmm, the love and care of the administration, and the talent pool. I fall in love with these actors when I see them here.
And with this particular show, there's been some community partnerships, a lot of outreach. Dreams of Hope, for one, yes, is one that I know about. So it's really interesting to see the power of theater reaching beyond the stage,
yes,
and influencing and cooperating with other organizations such as that.
City Theater is very it's very important to their mission to reach out and be a part of the community and be a welcoming door to allow them to come in and have this shared communal experience.
And again, the Absolute Brightness of Leonard Pelkey will be running through February 18th, so a decent handful of opportunities for our friends out there to continue to see it.
Yes, Tuesday through Sunday, different times, so there will be a time that you can make it. It won't just, I can only come. No, different times.
There are no excuses, I think is what you're trying to say.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, do you find anything changes from show to show?
Yes, each audience is different, just like a fingerprint, just like DNA. You get a room full of sometimes friends, people come together, but a room full of strangers to sit in the dark to watch a worker work in the light, and they have this shared experience of I guess what it means to have a human experience, and it makes them think, it makes them feel things, makes them see things in a different way, get a different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So each one is different. Like last night, they were very, they were a little more vocal than the other shows as far as laughing, different, you know, sounds. But they were very receptive, and I was very grateful for mm-hmm. them. They could come back tomorrow.
Oh, okay. We'll let them know. So to what degree do things like that, or you know, the intimacy of a space like this, affect your performance?
It makes you feel a kinship with them. It's like, I like to imagine I'm like at home, and which the set is set in the character's a home. And I've invited, we've invited a number of friends over, and we're sharing a story with them. And it's very intimate, because the size of the theater makes it intimate. At most, it's four rows deep, so everyone has a great seat.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone can hear everything without straining, and can see, you know, very, very well. And it doesn't feel like I'm here, they're there. It feels right. Like they're all around me.
We are here.
Yeah, we are here.
And I think to create that experience in a room anywhere in this day and age is really something spectacular.
It's very true, very true.
So no excuses for missing the Absolute Brightness of Leonard Pelkey, starring our friend Keith Randolph Smith here at City Theater. Congratulations on the rest of your run. Break a leg.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.